purpose of caring and solidarity, right? We're not judged simply by the material goods we accumulate and the power that we accumulate. We're judged by the solidarity and social love we can extend to other human beings. That's not to say there are not certain material needs we need as human beings, but at the end of the day, we're not slaves, if I may use that term, to material conditions. We are human beings. And Cuba's internationalism is a profound example of that. And the reconnection with Africa was truly profound. There are people, there's soldiers who I quoted from in the book who talk about reconnecting with their African roots. Right? Okay. And feeling that sudden valorization of what it means to be Africans, right? When everything black and
Hi, I'm Stan Raven. I used to be from somewhere else, but I'm not there anymore. And you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
On Saturday, February 4th, turn out or tune in for live performances from local singer-songwriters Lex Gray and Ryder Cooley. Both Lex Gray and Ryder Cooley perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Saturday, February 4th, and WGXC will also have a live web stream and a broadcast of the performances from two local band leaders, Lex Gray from the Urban Pioneers and Ryder Cooley from the Dust Bowl Fairies. Both perform Saturday, February 4th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Turn out or tune in to hear the performances on 90.7 FM at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Let us take a little trip into the land of deeper insight, following a topographic plan. The dead center being the point, or our first dynamic act will be the line. After a short time, we shall stop to catch our breath. The broken line, or the line articulated by several stops. I look back to see how far we have come. Counter movement. Ponder the distance thus far traveled. Sheaf of lines. A river may obstruct our progress. We use a boat. Wavy line. Further on, there might be a bridge, series of curves. On the other bank, we encounter someone who, like us, wishes to deepen his insight. At first, we joyfully travel together. Convergence. But gradually, differences arise, two lines drawn independently of each other. Each party shows some excitement, expression, diamondism, emotional quality of the line. We cross an unplowed field, a plain traversed by lines, then thick woods. One of us loses his way, explores, and on one occasion even goes through the motions of a hound following a scent. Nor am I entirely sure of myself. There is another river, and fog rises above it, spatial element. But then the view is clear again. Basket weavers return home with their cart, the wheel. Among them is a child with bright curls, corkscrew movement. Later it becomes sultry and dark, spatial element. There is a flash of lightning on the horizon, zigzag line. Though we can still see stars overhead, scattered dots. Soon we've reached our first quarters. Before falling asleep, we recall a number of things. For even so short a trip has left many impressions.
Lines of the most various kinds, spots, dabs, smooth planes, dotted planes, line planes, wavy lines, obstructed and articulated movements, counter movements, planings, weavings, bricole-like elements, scale-like elements, simple and polyphonic motifs, lines that fade and lines that gain strength, dynamism.
This is Tongue in Cheek. I'm joined today with Rocio Guerrero Marin. Thanks for being with us, or with me. It's just the two of us. Rocio is in Chile, in Santiago, where she's based now. And we originally met in over the last summer in a residency program in Mexico. And I think I was first, we'll get into your work, I think, at the very end, or certain parts of your work at the very end of today's show. But I was first really drawn to your work because of the ways that you were thinking of maybe things that are on the edge of acceptable forms of communication. And I think one of the first pieces of yours that I saw was you using this sort of simple contraption to articulate in some ways the steam that came from manholes in like Lower Manhattan when you were in your MFA at Hunter. And I think you also called them as like, you know, urban volcanoes in some ways. So I think that the ways that you're sort of always on the edge of communication or what's accepted as like a form of communication and sort of broadening that sphere is why I'm really happy to have you collaborating together on what we're going to do today. The show today is called Efecto Grafo, and which is the name of an ongoing series of performative exercises that you've done. So maybe we'll just start off, you could just describe some of what that is, maybe what it's called and why it's called that, and what the tool is that you use when you do those performances.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for the invitation. Afectógrafo is one of the works I have done that I have more... that I like the most, I feel, and it's an ongoing project which consists in a series of participatory exercises where people are invited to use this tool that is called the Afectógrafo, that is a necklace designed to register voluntary body movements. So while people wear this necklace, they are invited to tell their experiences of life disappointments. So basically I'm seated there with this other participant and they will share with me any experience around disappointment. It could be about love, friendship, politics, life, being an adult. I don't know, anything that could give you any kind of disappointment in life. And while they're using this necklace, the tool will make a drawing registering their involuntary body movements while they are telling this experience, like their affective memory around this experience will, I don't know, make them feel in different ways. So the body will react in different ways, and this will like be translated into this abstract drawing of their experience. The resultant drawing is a record of their emotional experience, basically, and this has helped me to construct an archive of human life disappointments, kind of. So that's why it's an ongoing project. It's something I would like to keep on doing. It's like an infinite archive, also because disappointments are infinite. We have all been disappointed, and we will keep on being disappointed probably about life. And I'm very interested in sharing these with others, because I guess it's good to talk about them and to have empathy with others' experiences in life, and that also help us, to the listeners, to understand our own experiences at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. through sharing, you understand yourself and others, and I don't know, I feel like that's a helpful tool for mm-hmm. coping with life, kind of.
Mm-hmm. And we're about to hear a recording of one of these performances, right? Or you call them exercises, performances interchangeably, it seems like. Mm-hmm. We're about to hear one that you did just the other day, and which, because of where you are, and also the rest of our hour together, we're going to be sort of switching back and forth between Spanish and English. And so this recording is in Spanish, and at the end of it, we'll sort of summarize a bit of what the story was that was being told. So we'll be hearing somebody telling a story with this necklace on, right? With mm-hmm. you in the room. And I hope that even if you don't understand Spanish, that you still listen along, because I think a part of at least this aspect of your work is really thinking about the shape of language in a different way. And is certainly tongue-in-cheek's interest too. So, and that's you, as in the listener. So I think we'll start playing this, and then we'll come back in a bit. Sound good?
Para comenzar, te pediría tu nombre completo.
Aníbal Andrés Montero Nayra.
Bueno, Aníbal, muchas gracias por haber querido ser parte de este proyecto, por querer compartir tus experiencias de decepción y con eso formar parte de este archivo de decepciones. Entonces te preguntaría, como qué experiencia de decepción que hayas tenido quisieras compartirnos hoy. Puede ser la última que hayas tenido, la primera que se te venga a la cabeza, la peor decepción de tu vida, la que más te rompió el corazón.
Voy a escoger como las decepciones en la amistad. Principalmente como en la etapa como de básica, en el fondo, como con estos como con pinches que uno se arma en el colegio, los compañeros, qué sé yo, como amigos de juego en cierta medida. Y me sigue llamando la atención, porque mantengo el contacto con varios de estos compañeros de colegio, en el fondo. ¿Cómo te aferrás en el fondo a ciertas amistades que obviamente uno va madurando y va cambiando, y de pronto de chico todos jugamos, pero después un rato como que ya se empiezan a destacar las personalidades, las afinidades como, no sé, bueno, culturales. Así. Entonces, nada, pues no sé, a ver, pienso... Es loco, por ejemplo, en primero básico me hice bien amigo de un cabro que en kinder, que éramos compañeros de kinder en ese momento, como el que me caía mal porque era como súper, era como que llamaba mucho la atención y tal. Bueno, pero resulté que cuando tuvimos la primera clase terminamos sentados juntos porque nos quedaban más puestos y ahí como que finalmente nos amigamos, ¿cachai? Y fueron como, esta amistad fue como primero, segundo... tercero, básico, ¿cachai? Y nunca entendí muy bien como por las decisiones en el fondo del otro, como por qué decides actuar de tal o cual forma que a mí no me hace sentido, entonces como que finalmente uno empieza a alejarse, ¿cachai? Como, o no te sientes afín. Entonces, como que aquellos que tú pensabas que como con quienes contabas finalmente se alejan, y creo que igual hay como un duelo, ¿no? Y bueno, y ahora como me voy a buscar otro amigo, ¿cachai? Como otro compinche. Y me pasó como dos veces, fíjate. O sea, como primero con este cabro como de primero básico, qué sé yo. Y después empecé a salir con, no sé si, con, o sea, como que salí harto con otro compañero, con otro amigo con el que empezamos a tocar música, con el que salíamos a andar en skate, qué sé yo. Y compartimos harto. Pero luego mi compadre como que se empezó a caer como un poco mucho al litro, estoy hablando ya como básica, así como séptimo, octavo, puta, así fumando caleta, tomando N, y yo nunca fui medio perno siempre en ese sentido. Entonces no me hacía mucho sentido, pero estaba un poco autodestructivo. Entonces como darte cuenta que, nada, pues que tenés que dejar ir un poco, ¿no? Casi, como que llegado el caso, si es que no te hace sentido como... el estilo de vida en el fondo, no, puta, como que hay que dar un paso para el lado, ¿cachai? Y dejar que cada uno siga su curso. O sea, no sé, esa es una etapa interesante, la adolescencia, porque sucede que en mi colegio teníamos compañeros desde kinder hasta octavo básico, ¿cachai? Un colegio pequeño. Un curso por nivel, entonces como que pasaban a ser tus hermanos, y de pronto ves como en esta etapa como ya de juventud, adolescencia, como que empiezan los carriles, ¿cachai? Como la gente empieza a tomar más, fumar más, y yo no me sentía como con el exceso de copete, ni fumaba cigarrillo, ¿cachai? Después fumaba pipa en ese entonces, y dejé de tener interés en salir con mis compañeros de curso, ¿cachai? Como que no me interesó cada vez menos su carrera, ¿cachai? Como que lo encontraba así, como era cero mi onda. Y claro, aquí quiero llegar, o sea, como que ver a mis compañeros con quienes jugué toda la vida, como desde esta inocencia de la niñez, y ver así a tus amigos, como que casi tus hermanos, como tiraban el piso, así como muy destruidos por lo que sea que se hayan metido. Eso a mí me causó pena y me decepcionó mucho, porque no encontraba que era tan ajeno a cómo nos habíamos criado, ¿cachai? Como en un contexto súper cuidado, teníamos el colegio, super, muy buena onda. Puta, como que me hizo ver que, claro, las expectativas en el fondo, o quien uno cree que es la otra persona, no siempre va a estar como... No siempre se va a ajustar a lo que uno espera, obviamente. Entonces, claro, me pasó bien a mis compañeros así, muy en situaciones en las cuales yo no me sentía cómodo, y finalmente, como por autocuidado, termina ahí alejando. Y así es como en ese camino de básica, como que no recolecté grandes amigos, ¿cachai? Si bien, como que había compañerismo y todo, y buena onda y cariño en general. No prosperaron esas amistades, como que quedaron ahí. Pero hace poco, días atrás, la semana pasada, me encontré con este compañero con quien salíamos a dar el skate, con quien tocábamos, porque vivía por acá cerca. Y lo más loco es que lo había estado pensando en él, había estado pensando en esta situación de la amistad y como, puta, cómo ejercer la amistad de manera un poco más activa, ¿cachai? Como ponerle voluntad. Le voluntad a los vínculos. Porque hay cosas que, claro, quizás en su momento me dolieron siendo chico, ¿cachai? O que no entendí. Pero pienso que no por eso, como necesariamente, voy a renunciar a lo que todavía puedan entregarme esas amistades, ¿cachai? Que podamos compartir, ¿me explico? Entonces fue interesante encontrarme con este compañero mío que viajaba muy bien haciendo música, ¿cachai? Pienso que desde ahí podemos como retomar un poco esta afinidad que había cuando éramos más chicos, ¿cachai? Este juego, que jugábamos, ¿no? Así que nada, no sé, estamos mal. Las amistades es un tema que a ratos, una vez que hay como, existe esta como decepción, me cuesta luchar por ello, ¿cachai? Pero creo que ya a esta altura de la vida, como que enfrentar un poco esos miedos de quizá de ser rechazado, como de soltar a la otra persona y como, puta, cultivarlo, como darle energía a las relaciones que uno quiere conservar. No sé si se acerca un poco a lo que me planteaste como pregunta, pero...
Sí, de todas maneras, y te entiendo perfecto. ¿Tú crees que entonces la decepción está en las expectativas que no ponen ciertas personas? O si no, ¿dónde está la decepción en este caso?
Yo pienso, bueno, que me imagino que la decepción es consecuencia de las expectativas que uno puede tener. En general. Sí. No sé, no, o sea, como el tema de las amistades, hasta qué punto es que uno como quiere sentirse importante para el otro y como que el otro actúe en como tú quisieras que actuara, y cada uno tiene libre albedrío, hace lo que quiere, entonces como que nos pasamos a llevar continuamente, ¿cachai?
Pero no un tema de control. En este caso la decepción no es un tema de control tuyo por sobre el otro.
No, es como, puta, pensé en el fondo que no, como que serías distinto, ¿cachai? Como que sería más parecido a mí, quizás. Yo creo que va un poco por ahí. Como que tendríamos un criterio similar en torno a este tema, ¿cachai?
O como cuando dejáis de encajar nomás, la gente cambia.
Claro.
Y eso a veces puede ser una decepción.
Exactamente.
O una misma cambia y eso a veces como que te enfrenta Exacto. a la realidad.
Y empezáis a cuestionarte, chuta, ¿seré yo el que está mal en este círculo o en este lugar en particular? Como, si miráis para el lado y está todo el mundo cómodo, ¿no? Y tú te sientes incómodo, entonces eres tú probablemente el que está sintiendo, percibiendo el mundo de una manera distinta, ¿cachai? Como... Entonces, nada, yo creo que es parte como de la vida. ¿Y cómo nos sobreponemos a la decepción? ¿Cómo ponemos otras cosas por sobre? O como ¿cuál es la línea, ¿cachai? Porque en el fondo como que uno puede tener micro decepciones constantemente. Pero hay ciertas cosas que no toleramos, hay ciertas cosas que no transamos en una amistad, por ejemplo, en una relación. Entonces, no sé, en este caso, como de amistades, yo creo que es un poco darte cuenta que quizá no era tan profundo aquello que existía, ese afecto, esa amistad, y eso quizá puede generar una decepción, como de, puta, bueno, pensé que como que nos teníamos cariño, ¿cachai? Como que había como un afecto genuino. Hay tanto asociado como el sentido de pertenencia social, como sentirse cómodo en un grupo, sentirse aceptado, sentirse valorado, sentirse como apoyado, no sé, o sea, eso, no sé. Voy a verlo realmente, no sé qué tanto me estoy alejando de él.
No, está bien. Vamos a dejarlo hasta acá si quieres. Muchas gracias por haber querido compartir tus experiencias de decepción. Ahora te voy a pedir si puedes escribir una frase que un poco resuma lo que hablamos ahora, lo que me contaste en relación a tus experiencias. Yo escribí algunas que me parece como que pueden redondear un poco lo que me dijiste y pero la puedes coger tú y si se te ocurre otra también puede ser. Bueno, me gustó mucho cuando dijiste que hay que ponerle voluntad a los vínculos. No sé si eso redondea como tu experiencia de decepción que me contaste, pero como que me cayó así como wow. Entonces igual la quería comentar. Porque me parece como un...
O sea, algo que ahora quiero como aterrizar. Y quiero, ni siquiera es como que lo esté... Creo que ejerciendo.
Que lo viste, claro.
No, o sea, lo tengo presente, pero... O sea, el que uno piense en algo mucho no lo hace realidad. El que uno tenga mucho afecto por una persona o lo que sea y no se la manifieste, no se transforma en una realidad para la otra persona.
No.
¿Cachai? Entonces, cruzar esa línea de pensar, de acordarse en alguien y mandar el mensaje o hacerlo llamar,
claro.
¿Cachai? Como...
O también en relación a lo que tú decías, como que de repente, me acuerdo que estabas hablando de
de cómo a veces, no sé, pues ciertas cosas te molestan en alguien o estás muy preocupado como de si esa persona actúa respecto a tus expectativas de cómo debería actuar. Claro. Y la voluntad a veces también va por un poco como soltar eso.
Claro.
Al mismo tiempo.
Sí.
Como que...
Sí.
Como un equilibrio entre la preocupación y el cuidado hacia la otra persona, pero también como de darle su libertad.
Exacto.
Eso también es como una voluntad que una tiene que tener respecto a un vínculo.
Claro, o sea, ¿cuán dispuestos estamos a aceptar realmente a la persona?
Exactamente. Eso es voluntad. Y eso es una gran voluntad. Eso, o sea, eso fue como lo que a mí más me cayó cuando dijiste ese comentario, como de respecto de ponerle voluntad a los vínculos. Siento que la voluntad está como la voluntad de cómo acepto a la otra persona, si la acepto en su totalidad.
Claro, sí.
Que es difícil, es un ejercicio súper difícil, porque una tiene expectativas respecto a lo que espera de la otra persona,
y
esa persona no necesariamente te lo va a dar, y juicios.
Claro. Creo que en mi caso mucho, me empezaron muchos juicios.
Es un mundo. Sí.
Sí.
O sea, ¿ves? Cada, como se decía antes, como que cada cuerpo, cada persona es distinta y tiene su propia experiencia, y eso es como... Cada persona es un universo en sí misma, entonces...
Sí, no, yo creo que ahora quizás las generaciones actuales en ese sentido como que se toma, se conversa la diversidad y es un tema, creo que se legitima más la diferencia. ¿Cachai? Y me parece fantástico.
Sí, ¿verdad? Y también es lo que hablábamos, como esa legitimización de la diferencia también va como por dejar muchos juicios de años.
Exacto.
Atrás.
Exacto.
Que es un ejercicio que una tiene que hacer como a diario.
Sí.
¿Te leo otra de las frases?
Vale.
Tú dime cómo, cuál
sí.
te gusta más. Nunca entendí las decisiones del otro. A veces hay que dar un paso al lado. Las expectativas no siempre... Ah, eso no termina escrito. Por autocuidado terminas alejándote.
Puta, si es como por, en este momento la que más me ronda es la última, o sea, la de la voluntad, porque viene la autodecepción por la parálisis, ¿no? Como
sí.
Pienso mucho en tal persona, me acuerdo mucho de tal persona y sigo sin hacérselo saber. Y ahí es como, puta, sigo siendo un mal amigo.
Mm.
¿Cachai? Y como... Y a quién le importa si eres mal amigo, pero si te importa el vínculo, si te importa la otra persona, bueno, entonces como...
Cool.
All right. So, should we describe? So, there was a drawing that came from that. From it, there was this necklace that he was wearing, and there was a pen that was mounted to it that was drawing based off of his involuntary movements while he was telling this story. Maybe before we describe or sort of try to summarize this story in English, we describe the drawing that came from it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can start from there.
Mm-hmm. And like I said before, we'll kind of switch back and forth between Spanish and English. So, so at the center, or just to the right of the center of a rectangular piece of paper, there's what looks at first like one mark.
Una marca que comienza desde arriba, formando un triángulo muy pequeño y que cuya base del triángulo continúa en una línea hacia abajo.
The overall shape of the small mark looks something like a fishing hook. It has a very small... rectangular or small triangular shape at the top with a little hole, and then it continues down and slightly to the right and then quickly up.
Esta línea continúa y se curva 45 grados hacia la derecha y se va curvando y sube como un gancho. Y en la parte del gancho es más gruesa, hay una acumulación de tinta que la hace ser una línea más gorda.
and on the end of this sort of hook-like shape, where it would be sharpest, the line seems to get lighter. It being drawn with a pen, it seems to just sort of roll over, having lost its ink.
La línea termina en punta, la línea continua termina en una punta que apunta hacia arriba, y de ella se desprenden pequeños puntos de tinta que van siguiendo el camino de la línea hacia arriba. Este es un rastro corto que deja hacia arriba.
I think that's good, no?
Okay.
Or you want to say anything?
I hope, I hope our description gave everyone an idea about the results in drawing of Aníbal.
Do you want to describe the story? We're going to go through a bunch of drawings, but do you want to describe the story a little bit?
Yes. What Aníbal brought up in that session was mainly about friendship, how, like, when you get disappointed with friends. So we talk a lot about teenage times when you change a lot and your friends are changing. So sometimes you feel you don't fit anymore around the people you thought were like your partners. So we talk a lot about that moment when you're growing up and people are starting to experience these new things in life, and how he felt like weird between his old friends, mainly in relation to like doing drugs or starting to drink. So we talk about like how people change and adapt, and how sometimes that can be something disappointed when you expect from someone to act in a way and they don't. And that can be very disappointing. But the most, like the core of the thing, which is something that he said and I write and I like it a lot, and you see the phrase we chose for his own drawing is this, like, kind of like a conclusion about all what he was saying. And it's something that says about something about the willing, like to be willing on put like energy on your relationships. Like how willing you are on accepting others in their completeness, giving away bias and control over the other, because of course, like, we have all committed bias and have received it, and how, like, I don't know, you grow in a way that you have you can like give away that and be willing on accepting like the completeness of other in its whole. Yeah, and that's like the core of Aníbal experience.
So in some ways it was more like about disappointment or like occurrence rather than a particular occurrence.
He talked about like a particular period of his life, mm-hmm. being a teenager and like going through these changes, mm-hmm. and how sometimes that would be disappointing. So he specifically talked about a friend that they were super close and they split, and he saw him on the street last week, and he felt like how he felt like he could be a friend again, like all this love and all this playfulness they have while being young, mm-hmm. It's still there in a way. So also thinking about how to get over deceptions, mm-hmm. is also a thing. Mm-hmm. Once you are disappointed, it's difficult to have the willing on taking care of a relationship, but how you can like get over that. And it's funny because it's something that happened to him before we have the session, and it was all super connected. Mm-hmm. So that was super specific about I think it's something he was like living.
Yeah.
Like when you are I feel like when you are disappointed is something that it's mutating on your everyday life in different ways, on the relationship you have with other people or your job or whatever.
It's funny, I just realized before we move on to some other drawings that you remember, or some of the, in some ways these are like interactions that you might say you remember. Just quickly, it's interesting me to think that essentially these drawings are coming from an embodiment of thinking about one's something that one is disappointed in or disappointed about. But if you imagine like being disappointed as sort of like receding, you know, and not making a mark, or like, you know, it's funny that it works sort of in counter to it, or in contrast to it. But since you're speaking about it from like also your own memory of this experience of hearing that story, can you point us to another drawing that you either remember from the experience that we can work with now, and we'll start to do something that is much more involving, a set of exercises that are much more involving our listeners to engage mm-hmm. them in this. So is there one we want to go to in your archive?
Yes. So should I start with a description, a formal description?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do we want to say the phrase?
Oh, first? Starting with a phrase?
Yeah, maybe we say the phrase first.
Okay.
That way also I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, of course. So, to be clear also, every time someone participates from this experience, I ask them to write a quote with their own handwriting, something they say during the whole performance. So every drawing has this label. That is a phrase they said, and that it's super related with their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I will choose this one that says, no haber sido cuidada.
Okay, I found it. So, and mm-hmm. also just to give a sense of what we're going to be doing together, we're going to try to sort of do in some ways, I think we were thinking about it as like doing the efectógrafo in reverse, where in some ways, if the drawing is a registration of the involuntary movement of telling a story, we're going to try to make, in some ways, the story be the involuntary movement of a drawing. Or a body's drawing, we could say. So we're going to do a couple of steps to this, but the first thing to do is to just get a few pieces of paper. If you have them near you, great. If you don't, go get them. I'll give you a second. A few pieces of paper, a pencil or a pen, to draw some things that we're going to be working with. And just as you get them, I'm going to just read these types of lines, again, that we started with. And this was actually the thing that we started reading in the beginning was from Creative Confessions, which is a Paul Klee text from 1920. Lines of the most various kinds, spots, dabs, smooth planes, dotted planes, lined planes, wavy lines, obstructed and articulated movement, counter movement, platings, weavings, brick-like elements, scale-like elements, simple and polyphonic motifs, lines that fade and lines that gain strength. All right, hopefully you have a paper. I'm going to do this also, even though I'm looking at the drawing. And
that's cheating.
It is cheating, but I'm the only one that can cheat. All right, so we're going to describe this drawing that we're looking at. And while we describe it, we'll again be switching between Spanish and English. While we describe it, try to emulate what you hear. You want to start?
Entonces, yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Comienza una línea que forma una... Va subiendo hacia la derecha y forma un globo que luego empieza a bajar y serpentea y se corta.
So one initial line at the, again, right of the center of the page that forms a kind of hook shape where you have a small curve that goes to the left and then quickly off to the right.
Y se corta de nuevo y luego siguiendo la misma, el mismo eje, como si fuese una columna vertebral, hace una L invertida, muy cortita, y luego una L en la otra dirección, y se cruzan ambas en la parte superior de cada L.
And use this first hooked line as a kind of foundation for the rest going up. Make a very small column of triangular elements of L-shaped forms that are cross-hatching each other and as if they're building up precariously into a small column.
Y luego de hacer, se abre la línea, se separa un poco del eje de la columna y formando una montaña, dos montañas, y vuelve a bajar con movimientos rápidos, serpenteados, pero agudos. Terminando en una línea que comienza como un gancho horizontal y se alarga y se alarga y se alarga, saliéndose del eje otra vez, pero esta vez hacia la derecha.
And now above this column, make a very small check mark. And above that check mark, on the small part of the check, use the direction of the check to make a curve going to the right and then back to the left, up very slightly, and then with sharp corners, up, right, up even smaller, to the left, and at an angle to the right, and then flat, making a new base that's parallel with that first initial hooked foundation.
And that's the...
Are you done with yours? Oh, I have more.
Yes.
To do. Okay, I'm going to go
for it.
Yeah, so at the end of that, make a kind of crooked, a crooked square, as if you didn't know really how to draw a square properly. And letting the two, where you started and where you ended that square, kind of miss each other and overlap. And above that, that should make almost like an eye, like an eyeball of some form here. And above that, make much with much lighter mark making, make a series of L shapes that are moving upwards again, like that initial column that you have below, and going off diagonally, two very light dashes off to the right. And finally, on top of all of that, still at the same scale, make just the image of a frog's face. Okay, I'm done now. So with that,
I hope everyone
has something.
Yes.
Everybody certainly has something. So what are we doing now? Should we describe what we see in a different way, or do you want to move on to the second part of it? What do you think?
Let's go for a more intimate description now.
Okay. You want to start?
Yes.
Just one thing. While we're describing this, try to we're going to describe sort of more interpretively different things on the drawing, and try to find for your own drawing where these emotive spots show up.
Yes. Also in relation with your own experiences, right?
Yeah, I think we can get to that, but yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Just go wherever you want to go.
Siempre imaginé este dibujo como una escritura en un lenguaje con otro abecedario, un abecedario desconocido. Es vertical, pero sigue una misma línea, y si giro mi cabeza hacia un lado, pareciera que escribió dos palabras, y la primera parte, la primera letra es una letra muy larga hacia abajo, como una P, pero no es una P.
Imagine this drawing as a piece of writing in a language that you've never seen, that moves from below to the top, all tracing one line, and along its way telling some kind of narrative.
No sé cuál es su narrativa, pero está interrumpida. Comienza densa si la veo de izquierda a derecha, de abajo hacia arriba. Densa y aguda, son espinas o que se clavan en esta escritura. Y hay una coma. Y luego un perfil con una nariz muy grande que mira hacia la izquierda. Y un ojo que ve hacia arriba. Quizás hay una persona involucrada en esta historia. Una persona que está esperando algo.
There's a story in this set of lines. And the story is maybe of the person that has drawn it. There's changes throughout the time of their drawing. In this language, it takes a year to write a sentence. And along that time, there are different events, with different paces, with different kinds of sharpness, with different forms of pressure. Locate different moments and think about the tension. Think about the weight of the line. Think about the crossing over itself. And what significance it has for these different times along this year. I'm going to move us on in the interest of time, because we only have a couple minutes left, to do something else. And I think we'll just do it with the same drawing, no?
Let's move on.
Yeah. So instead of everybody has some kind of drawing in front of them, or has just been listening and is maybe imagining some kind of drawing. What we want you to do now is, instead of thinking of this drawing as something that you made with your hand, imagine it as something that you drew with your whole body. Start to look at it and scan over it, and try to imagine different places in this drawing that you would assume are drawn by different parts of your body. different gestures, different feelings and motions, different pacing of movement. You've drawn this drawing with your whole body, with all parts of every limb, with every joint. How do you associate each of these parts with different parts of your body? And now looking at one meeting, one place, one particular spot of this drawing, stand up if you can, or in your seat. Take a position, take that position, take the position of your body that made that mark. Holding that position that made and drew that mark. Where is there tension? Where in your body is loose? Where is the pencil or pen being held? How is it drawing? And holding that position, close your eyes. And try to imagine some moment in your past. Don't imagine, remember. Remember some moment in your past where your body has been in this position, where you've been held in this position, even for an instant. Who is around you? Are you alone? What was around you? Where were you coming from? What did you do just before? Where are you going? What were you thinking about in that time? And once you have some kind of feeling of that moment in time, you can open your eyes again and think of a phrase that represents that moment in time where you had your body in that position. And just write that phrase down on your drawing. Do you want to do the same in Spanish?
Bueno. Algo habrán dibujado a partir de las descripciones que Tim y yo hicimos, descripciones tanto formales como subjetivas del dibujo. Y seguro tienen algún tipo de dibujo en sus manos. Les invitamos ahora a que vean ese dibujo y lo puedan situar en alguna parte de su cuerpo, o qué partes del dibujo se sitúan en distintas partes del cuerpo, para empezar a sentir, a corporizar el dibujo. Y de a poco, interpretar el dibujo con el cuerpo y tomar una postura, una posición. ¿Qué de tu cuerpo está en el dibujo? ¿Qué partes? ¿Qué gestos? ¿Qué sentimientos o movimientos hace? ¿Está apretado o está suelto? Ahora les invitamos a que cierren los ojos y asuman esta posición del cuerpo en relación al dibujo. Y piensen, imaginen cómo este dibujo es un recuerdo. Un recuerdo en la que el cuerpo en esta postura fue parte. ¿Cuál es esa historia, esa experiencia? ¿Dónde estás la última vez que tu cuerpo estuvo así? ¿Cómo te sentías ¿Había alguien contigo? ¿Qué hacías ahí? ¿Cómo llegaste? ¿A dónde vas? ¿Hace calor? ¿Hace frío? ¿Está tu pecho apretado? ¿Te da risa? ¿Es una situación ridícula?
Okay. Well, we have just maybe 2 minutes left. So I think it would be nice just to end for a moment of talking more openly about your work or about this project and certain ways that you think about it. We really just have a few minutes, but I wonder if I could just ask you or if we could talk for a little bit about like some of your experience of doing this. And maybe particularly a very quick question would be, what would you call yourself in these scenarios? What is your role?
Yes. First of all, first answering the question, it's the first time we do this exercise, like this sound exercise around and the inverse translation, and I'm impressed how it guided us through the same state when I'm listening to others telling me their experiences, and I think that's I hope it worked for everyone in that way. I don't know, but I'm really like happy and trying to understand all that. I see myself more as a facilitator. And also I like to understand art in general as that, as a facilitator too, that open different doors and windows and invite others to share in different contexts and conditions. To share experiences, thoughts. So yes, for me, I'm just a facilitator that opens this void to talk about and share experiences.
What was that state that you were talking about when you said that it brought us to a similar state to the one that you have when you're doing this with others with the necklace? You said that it feels like a similar state. Is that a state that you say the facilitator is in some ways?
Yes. As I also said, this is first time we have done this, so it's new, and I don't know if I have the exact words to describe it, but it's like a concentration mode. For listening and for understanding. Like to understand what the other is saying, process it in my own body in order to like be empathic, like to have empathy. But it's basically like a concentration state in relation to other also, but it's relaxing at the same time.
That's nice. It makes me think about also it being maybe we can sort of end with this, but it also being a way of accepting, like that understanding or that state is a way of accepting not knowing, or sort of accepting the opacity of not knowing exactly what the other person is feeling or the other person is saying or the position their body is in.
Exactly. And it's related to be open. It's an open position in order to listen and be concentrated and really listen. And it's super, I don't know, like it's flat, but in a good way. It's like when the sea is quiet, it's super quiet. It's like, I think it's an open position where your body is quiet in order to receive.
That's great. That's a good thing for a facilitator. You can hope for. All right. Thank you, Orsio, so much. Of course, I wish we had more